Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our news department is doing some Bloomberg legacy reporting this week. You know, at the beginning of his three terms in office, Mayor Bloomberg promised to make the city a more affordable and more desirable place to live. But those two don't necessarily go together, more desirable and more affordable. WNYC reporter Cindy Rodriguez found that while Bloomberg has spent billions on affordable housing, the city has actually become less affordable since he took office. Cindy, hi.
Hi, Brian. So
let's start with this one particular Bloomberg program. Back in 2003, he promised to build 100 – actually, I think it was during his first election campaign in 2001, right? He promised to build 165,000 units of affordable housing, either build or preserve.
Right, yeah.
Has he kept that promise?
Yeah, he pretty much has. And just to clarify, the program first started off much smaller, but I think the administration saw that the need was much greater. So then eventually it did jump to 165,000 units. So right now the city says that they have about 150,000 units financed.
Almost there.
Not completed,
but
financed, right? And then the remaining units will be financed by June of 2014. But also, just to clarify what this idea of created and preserved means. So there's about 44,000 units that are new construction units and about 105,000 units that are preserved. So preserved means that maybe an old building was in need of rehab. So maybe there's been gut rehabs done. There's been refinancing done to keep those apartments affordable.
So they're really two pretty different categories. It's one thing to build a new unit of affordable housing. It's another one to just keep one in existence that's already there.
Right. And I think that was also part of sort of this housing bust that happened when the construction really plummeted. And so they sort of turned more heavily to preservation. I think that housing advocates would say that preservation is pretty important in a city where you're constantly seeing the pressures for units to go
market
into
rate.
The regular market. Right?
And how many units of affordable housing have been lost under Bloomberg? Is that a knowable number?
Yes. Yeah, so the Furman Center crunched a bunch of data for us. And so what they came up with was that between 2002 and 2011, rent-regulated units decreased by about 76,000. So, and it's in the areas that you might expect, the West Village, the Financial District, Stuytown, the Upper West Side, the Upper East Side, Morningside Heights, and Hamilton Heights. Those were sort of the five areas that lost the most. And then, but you also have
So those are rapidly gentrifying areas, in
right,
other words.
Right. And then you also have landlords who are part of affordable housing programs where they've agreed to keep their rents low, but there was a time period where they could opt out of these programs. And so that's very popular. And so almost 30,000 of those units, landlords have opted out. And so those are happening in places like Parkchester, Soundview in the Bronx, also Stuytown, Upper West Side, Upper East Side, but then East Harlem also has lost a bunch of those units.
So if we're measuring the Bloomberg legacy on affordable housing, by the numbers, it's about 150,000 created or preserved affordable housing units minus about 75,000, about half of that, that have been lost to attrition and these other forces that you're describing, so maybe plus 75.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I mean, if we say 165 is the total, eventually those 165 will be built. And then we subtract a little over 100,000.
And many of those, as you say, are preserved, not created anew. At the same time, the population is growing in New York City. So we can't say that Bloomberg has been a success in creating large amounts of affordable housing, seems to me.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The city has become much more popular there. I think the population is at an all-time high. So people are not coming to the city, which I think is the ultimate fear that these high prices will eventually turn people off, make them not want to come, make businesses not want to come and relocate their employees here because they know their employees won't be able to afford it.
And listeners, there is a really cool map up on our show page that shows the rent burden in different neighborhoods. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see this cool map on our show page that shows the rent burden in different neighborhoods. I guess we give Bloomberg credit for trying to hold the line against these other forces, even if not all that successful in creating massive new amounts of affordable housing. You have this concept in your piece called the rent burden.
Right.
What does
right.
that mean?
So a rent burden is basically how much are you burdened by your rent? What portion of your income are you paying towards your rent? And I haven't really got down to how that number was decided, but it's been decided that 30% of your income is a reasonable amount to be spending on your rent. So what we did, we have our data team who created this great map, and they're actually in your studio right now. And
hi, data team. I'm waving. They're waving
and,
back.
And so basically they also got data from the Furman Center. There's questions on the American Community Survey. That's a survey that the Census Bureau does that asks about rents. It asks about income. It asks about electricity, and it asks about heat. So basically all those numbers were crunched to see what the rent burden is in all of these different neighborhoods. So when you look at the map, you can see, for instance, which I found really interesting, and I'm not sure how to explain it, but Borough Park, for instance, has the highest rent burden. The people there are paying 50% of their income towards rent. So we have the median rent in Borough Park is about $1,200. For the recent people that have moved there, it's about $1,356, and their rent burden is 50%. Also, Highbridge, South Concourse, in the Bronx, they also have a very high rent burden. And also, this map is sort of like an income disparity map also. I mean, you can see, for instance, you know, you have the Upper West Side with the median rent of $1,853. For people that are just moving there within the last 5 years, that jumps to almost $2,300. But yet their rent burden is 27%.
Right, because the rent burden has to do not just with the amount of rent, but with the amount of rent relative to your income.
Right.
And so we see on the map in general that the neighborhoods with the highest rent burden seem to be the farthest from Manhattan, even though Manhattan has the highest actual rent.
Right, right. Exactly.
And this map only shows us rent. It doesn't account for people who own their own homes. Has home ownership also become more expensive for New Yorkers? We've had this whole cycle during Bloomberg's 12 years of the boom and then the bust that everybody experienced with the financial crisis.
Right, right. So also, maybe just to put into context a little bit, New York City is a city of renters, many more renters than anywhere else in the country. So about 68% of people rent and the rest are homeowners. And yes, you can see when you compare property values have really, really skyrocketed in New York City compared to the rest of the country. And in the last decade compared to prior decades. So, you know, you have places like Central Harlem where property values have gone up 222%.
Though Harlem, I would imagine, is unusual because it's in Manhattan and just above the Upper East and West Sides.
Right, right. Exactly. And, you know, I was in – there's a couple of people in my piece that are from that neighborhood that bought a brownstone there for $400,000 and sort of a program that was trying to target middle-income people to buy up brownstones on a block with a lot of abandonment on it. So they bought for $400,000 and their property is worth more than $1 million right now.
Right. And it's a paradox. A place gets popular because it's cheap, and then it gets expensive because it's popular.
Right.
I wonder if any mayor could change that.
Right, right. It is a paradox. And I think that, you know, in these – I've gone to a couple of mayoral forums where – that have been just about this
The candidate forums.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The candidate forums. And it is one of the major issues. And, you know, you hear different ideas from everything from using the pension fund to invest in affordable housing to this idea that when developers build, it's not voluntary. You have to build a set aside of affordable units.
One other question, and I don't know if you reported on this or if these numbers are known, but because there is a continuing influx of immigrants into New York, and immigrants, when they first come here, generally are not that well off and they have to find a place to live, are there different neighborhoods where new immigrants are moving today than when Bloomberg first took office 12 years ago?
I looked into this a little bit, so I can't say that much about it, but I can say, for instance, immigrants are, yes, they're shifting into different areas of the city. So, for instance, Washington Heights is where Dominicans would go to when they first arrived here for many decades. There are still a lot of Dominicans there, but a lot of them have been pushed out and are now living in the Bronx. So the Bronx is becoming a place where new immigrants coming from the Dominican Republic would go. I also interviewed a couple of people who, places are getting a lot more mixed. So maybe there's not just Dominicans now in Washington Heights. There's Ecuadorians. There's Mexicans. So people are finding their niches in different places.
All right. WNYC poverty reporter Cindy Rodriguez doing this piece as part of the WNYC News Bloomberg Legacy Series this week. And again, don't forget there's this really cool map up on our show page that shows the rent burden in different neighborhoods in New York City. Go to WNYC.org. And click on Brian Lehr Show. And also at WNYC.org, you can hear Cindy's full piece, which originally aired on Morning Edition. Cindy, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. Coming up next, it's Marriage Week on The Brian Lehr Show. Today, marriage, money, and class, gay and straight. We will look at some fascinating numbers from some Pew polls on marriage, money, and class, gay and straight, and take your calls. Stay with us.